بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Now when we exit from the prayer, we have completed the salah, the requirements of the prayer, the requirements of the salah, but the experience of the prayer goes beyond that. Let me explain. See, the prayer starts when you say Allahu Akbar. And I can't tell you differently. But the experience of the prayer starts before that, doesn't it? When you make wudu, washing yourself, reflecting on what you're about to go and do. Your sins are being washed away. Making the dhikr of Allah while you make wudu. That's why you're not supposed to be like it's from the sunnah of wudu. Bismillah, and then you read the dua and make the dhikr of Allah. Ashhadu wa la ilaha illallah. Not be making wudu like, man, that lunch was awesome. Woo, I ate too much, right? Just like, try to capitalize on that moment. Start preparing for your salah. And so the experience begins beforehand. When I came a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how taking out a couple of minutes, 60 seconds, before you actually pray and just kind of quiet. Just taking a break from everything. Helps you kind of get centered, get focused. So the experience begins beforehand. Similarly, when we say Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, we have finished, completed, exited from the prayer, but the experience extends beyond there. Because there will be a problem in khushu if by the time we're saying the second salam, I already have one of my shoes on. There's a problem, like how did you do that? That's amazing, right? So there's a problem there. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us certain things to implement. And I understand, you know, mashallah, especially here, this setting is very appropriate in that sense. You know, many of y'all are college students, working professionals. So you don't have like 30 minutes to sit there and recite a bunch of Quran. But at the same time, there's 30 seconds, 60 seconds. If we can put a little bit more into it, just sitting there, where we just finished our prayer, it really rounds out the experience of the salah. So one of the things the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do is to say Astaghfirullah. Right here. Astaghfirullah. And in the parentheses it says Thalathan. Don't worry about that. That just simply means three times. Say Astaghfirullah three times. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Say it three times. What's the root of the word? Can anyone tell me? Okay. The root of the word here is at the very end. Ghafara. Ghafara means to forgive, to cover up the sin. The sin ta prefix, it adds the meaning of seeking something, asking for something, seeking it. I seek forgiveness. From who? Who am I seeking forgiveness from? Allah. Astaghfirullah. I seek forgiveness from Allah. I seek forgiveness from Allah. Three times we say that. Now the question I have is this. What did we just get done doing? Praying. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Very good thing. Then why are we asking Allah for forgiveness? Right. See, this teaches us the mindset of the believer. A believer doesn't complete his or her salah and then high five the person next to them, go chest bump the imam. Right? You know, that's not what a believer does. Like celebration time, right? Let me sign your dopey for you, right? That's not what a believer does. What a believer does is when they complete an act of worship, devotion, dedication to Allah, a believer sits before Allah and says, Ya Allah, I know for certain I didn't do this 100% correctly. I know I probably messed up. I know I didn't do a lot of things properly. Ya Allah, I ask you to forgive me and still accept my prayer on my behalf. Still accept this broken, this incomplete prayer from me. And subhanAllah, that is the mercy and the blessing of Allah, that Allah accepts our prayers from us, even with the shortcomings that they may have. So this is something that we can do immediately after following the prayer. We have a few more things that we can read immediately after following the prayer. What we're going to go ahead and do though is, again, mashallah, jazakumullah khairan. Y'all are very, very patient, very hardworking. May Allah bless y'all and reward y'all. So we're going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back after the break, we'll pick up from here, from where we left off. So just remember the timings. 5:30 is when they pray Salatul Asr upstairs. So try to be back for that can be said immediately after the prayer. We'll do as many of these as we can. We also have a little bit of a time constraint in terms of wanting to, inshallah, finish up by Salatul Maghrib. So let's try to, inshallah, see however much we can get done. So we'll do maybe a couple of these, maybe not even all of the post-salah ad'iyah. One of them is, of course, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma, O Allah, anta, you are, as-salam. This is the name, the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who grants peace and safety. O Allah, you are the grantor of peace and safety. Wa minka. Minka is two words. The first word is the word min. Second word is the word ka, of course, which means you, addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from you is as-salam, peace and safety. Again, one thing I want to clarify here real quickly, point out, in ad'iyah, in the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is very common, you see this a lot. Normal grammatical sequence would be as-salamu minka. But that's not what this says here. It says minka as-salam. So it doesn't just mean that peace and safety is from you. It means only from you is peace and safety. Meaning we can only get peace and safety from you. So exclusivity is built into the meaning here through the grammar. Tabarakta. This is again that word for most blessed. Tabarakta. Most blessed are you, O Allah. Ya, O, Tha, Thal. Or rather the word is Tha. It means the possessor of Al-Jalal. Jalal in the Arabic language is the word for majesty or magnificence. O possessor of majesty, magnificence, wal ikram, and ikram. Ikram from nobility, honor. O possessor of majesty and honor. Allahumma anta salam, O Allah, you are the grantor of peace and safety. Wa minka salam, and only from you is peace and safety. Tabarakta, most blessed, Ya, are you, O possessor of majesty, dhal jalal wal ikram, and nobility, honor, dignity. Here at the bottom of page 23, we have another dua for post-salah. We'll go ahead and just skip over this for now. Go to page number 24. Page number 24. These are some of the adhkar for after salah. Again, very important. Something we should try our best to implement. This is very simple. We're familiar with most of these words at this point. We've covered them multiple times. The first word is Subhanallah. How absolutely perfect is Allah. Alhamdulillah. The ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone. Allahu Akbar. And Allah is greater than anything and everything. And of course, in parentheses, you see the words thalathun wa thalathin. That just means 33 times each. 33 times each. Then, so there are two narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 33, 33, and 34. And one is 33 times each for all three of these phrases. And then once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we should say, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Again, a lot of this is very familiar. We've covered this vocabulary through other supplications, adhkar, ad'iyah, other portions of the prayer. We'll go through this quickly. La, this is a special la. It means absolutely no. Ilah, the object of worship. There's absolutely nothing or no one that is worthy of any worship, إِلَّا, except for Allah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. We did this in one of the tashahuds. وَحْدَهُ, unique is he, singular is he. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. There is absolutely no partner for him. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. لَهُ again means for him is al-mulk. Al-mulk is another one of those words. Normally in translation you'll see the word dominion, kingdom, the extent of one's power, jurisdiction, one's control. The area of one's control and power. So for him is the kingdom. For him is the total control. But again, normal grammatical sequence would be al-mulku lahu. That's not what this says. This says lahu al-mulk. Only for him, exclusively for Allah, for him is the total control. Walahu alhamdu. And exclusively and only for him is the ultimate praise. Wahuwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is some new vocabulary here, and I want to explain this. Wahuwa, wa means and, huwa means he. It's an independent pronoun that is for the third person singular masculine, and he is ala, over, kulli. Kulli in the Arabic language, especially when it's used in a construction like this, idafa, it means each and every. Each and every. Shay'in, single thing. And he is over each and every single thing, qadirun. This comes from the word qudra. Qudra means power, control, capability. But not just simply that. Qadir is one who has power. Qadir is the one who is constantly in power, constantly in control. All the time, non-stop. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he is over each and every single thing, constantly in control. But we have some grammar here. Normal grammatical sequence dictates that this should be وَهُوَ قَدِيرٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. مُبْتَدَى خَبَرٍ and then the متعلق. But we have a reversal in sentence structure here. Instead of وَهُوَ قَدِيرٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we have وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. It switched around a little bit. It's mixed up a little bit. And that again creates a meaning of exclusivity. And he, so basically what it means is he and only he is in total control all the time over each and every single little thing. See, this is an example of that. This is such a common phrase in the Quran, in ad'iyah, in supplications, du'as, adhkar, remembrance. But a lot of times we don't have a full appreciation for what it's really fully saying. He and only He is in total control all the time over each and every single little thing. That's the full implication of what this is saying. So with that, at the age of at the end of page number 24, we complete basically the generally what we would need for any typical prayer or salah. From here on page 25, we're going to have some special or extra part of the prayer. A more special, you know, part of the prayer. And that is basically the supplication of qunut. The supplication of qunut, the dua of qunut. I told you about the word qunut previously. The word qunut means to not move, to not talk, to not make any sound, to be completely still and quiet. And that's basically, that signifies total, complete, absolute obedience of Allah. So these are the supplications of qunut. This is the last place where we'll find multiple supplications. There is a difference of opinion. What is preferable, but there's no doubt about the fact that they are both authentic, narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore, obviously, it goes without saying, permissible. But there is a difference of preference. And so the preference is different amongst the scholars. The first supplication of qunut that we're going to study here is narrated from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka wa nuthni alayka al-khayr wa nashkuruka wa la nakfuruka وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكَ اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد ونرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق اللهم أو الله Inna, most definitely we, nasta'inuka. Again, that's two words. Nasta'in, we seek assistance. We constantly seek assistance. See, you have to understand one thing. This is what we call the fi'al mudari', the present/future tense of the verb. It has a special effect built into it. It doesn't just mean for something to happen or to do an action. It has a tajdeed wa takrar built into it, balaghatan. So what it means is that we continue to seek assistance from you. Wa nastaghfiruka. We continue and constantly seek forgiveness from you. Wa nu'minu. And we continue to believe from iman. Bika, in you, firmly in you. Wa natawakkalu alayka. This is a new word in terms of vocabulary, tawakkul. The word tawakkul comes from the root word wakala, which literally means to lean on something for support. That's why an attorney is called wakil. To lean on someone for the sake of support. Tawakkul is another verb pattern from that same root. When it comes into this verb pattern, it becomes more figurative. It means to rely on someone or something, to put your trust in something, reliance, dependence, trust. وَنَتَوَكَّلُ, we continue to put our trust. عَلَيْكَ, we continue to rely. عَلَيْكَ, upon you, O Allah. وَنُثْنِي, this is that same word thana. Athna yuthni, that we talked about folding, attributing, giving credit to. Wanuthni, we continue to attribute, give credit. Alayka, upon you, meaning for you. Al khair, for all that which is good. Khair in the Arabic language is a very big word. It encompasses and includes all that which can be classified as good. We give credit for all that which is good to you. All that which is good, only and only to you. The next word is وَنَشْكُرُكَ. This is from the word shukr. This is kind of interesting. Shukr, how do we normally translate the word shukr? Very good, very good. I like that. Because a lot of times folks think it's like gratitude, to be grateful, not just simply to be grateful, but the Arabic word shukr is not only to be grateful, feel grateful, but also to express that gratitude, to give thanks. To give thanks. So not only are you grateful, but you express that gratitude. وَنَشْكُرُكَ. That's why any place in the Arabic language, in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he talks about shukr and expressing gratitude, you know, shukr towards people, we have to understand not just being grateful or feel grateful, gratitude for people, but to express that thanks, express that gratitude. وَنَشْكُرُكَ. We will remain grateful. We will continue to express our gratitude. نَشْكُرُكَ, to you. وَلَا نَكْفُرُكَ. And as you can see there, the root of this word is kufr. What do we know? What does kufr mean, everyone? Disbelief. The root of the word kufr in its origins, it actually means to bury something, to conceal something, to hide something. That's why in classical Arabic, a farmer would be called a kafir. Don't try it at home. All right? That's why in classical Arabic, specifically the guy on the farm who would have the responsibility of sowing the seeds into the soil would be called a kafir. But it means ingratitude. It's the antonym, the opposite of shukr. It means ingratitude because when somebody is ungrateful, they are hiding the blessings of Allah. That's why we've been told to acknowledge the blessings of Allah. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So kufr is ingratitude. And therefore, this is why disbelief is called kufr. Because disbelief is the greatest form of ingratitude. After everything Allah has done for us, everything Allah has given to us, to not even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest form of ingratitude. It is kufr. وَلَا نَكْفُرُكَ. We will not be ungrateful to you, O Allah. We will never be ungrateful to you. The next word is وَنَخْلَعُ. This is the word خَلَعَ. Khala'a. This word means to remove, to detach, to separate. Like Allah told Musa alayhi salam, fakhla'ana alayk, take off your shoes, to remove. We will remove. It doesn't explain yet, because we have to read further. Wa natruku. A tark in the Arabic language means to leave something, like walk away from something, to leave something behind. We will remove, we will detach and walk away. From who? Man, whoever, yafjuruka. Yafjuruka, that's two words. The first word is yafjuru. Yafjuru comes from the root of the word fajr. Fajr in the Arabic language means to rip something, to split something wide open, to tear something open. This is why Salatul Fajr is called Fajr, because it's the time of Fajr. Waqtul Fajr. It's the break of dawn. When the light splits the darkness. But from that same root we have the word Fujur. Fujur in the Arabic language means to sin, but not just to sin or disobey Allah. It means to sin very openly, very publicly, very blatantly. To sin. Very openly, publicly, blatantly. Almost like challenging Allah. To defy Allah. Sin in such a way. So whoever defies you, O Allah, whoever challenges your authority, whoever disobeys you, in that manner, Yafjuruka, we will remove and walk away from that person. So this kind of brings about a lot of questions. What does this exactly mean? You know, is this bringing up the very problematic, almost like spiritual elitism that we have in our community sometimes? Looking down on people, judging people, condemning people, damning people, dooming people. No, no, no. This fujud is a very specific word. It's almost like somebody's like, they're doing something, they know what they're doing is wrong, they're being very kindly, gently reminded that it's wrong, but they're saying, yeah, I know it's wrong, but what are you going to do about it? What's anybody going to do about it? In that mode, when someone's in that mode, then at that point in time, saying salaamu alaykum and taking a step aside is what is the spiritual recommendation of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, like the whole thing about being a good influence on somebody, giving da'wah to somebody. Somebody's on the way to rob a bank and you say, you know, brother, don't do that. That's not good. It's not good. Don't do that. It's astaghfirullah. It's bad. Right? And they're like, nope, sorry, going to go rob a bank. At that time, say, I'm going to go with him just to give him some da'wah. Not a good idea. All right? So that's, I know it seems like very extreme circumstances, but that's what it's talking about. وَنَخْلَعُ We will remove and walk away. وَنَتْرُكُ We will step aside. مَنْ يَفْشُرُكُ Against the one who has declared war against you, O Allah. اللهم, O Allah, إِيَّاكَ Only you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Only you do we worship. Do we continue to worship. وَلَكَ نُصَلِّي Laka means for you, nusalli, do we pray? And again, there's reversal of the sentence structure here. It's not nusalli laka, it's laka nusalli. Only for you do we pray. Walaka nusalli wa nasjudu. Sujud, sajada in the Arabic language literally means to put your face on the ground. That's literally the root of the word. That's why sujud is called sajda, sujud. And only for you do we put our face on the ground. Do we prostrate? Do we put our face on the ground? وَإِلَيْكَ نَسْعَى إِلَيْكَ إِلَى Just like عَلَى means on top of something, إِلَى means towards something. إِلَيْكَ And only towards you, نَسْعَى السَّعْيُ in the Arabic language means to move very quickly, to have like a target, to have an objective, a goal in front of you, and then to move very quickly towards that goal, that target, that objective. وَإِلَيْكَ نَسْعَى Only towards you are we rushing, moving very quickly, swiftly. وَنَحْفِدُ حَفَدَ in the Arabic language is a very interesting word. It means to gather one's strength. You know, like when you've been when you run towards a destination. After about 5 minutes of running towards that destination, you start to get tired and slow down and fatigue and exhaust. And at that point in time, it's an emergency. There's a sense of urgency. So you kind of take a deep breath. You kind of gather your second wind. And then you push harder. You go further. That's nahfidu. Meaning we will keep going. We will push harder. So we are running towards you, O Allah. And we will continue to push harder. Nahfidu. Wa narju rahmataka. Narju, this is from the word raja. Raja means hope. Raja means hope. We continue to put our hopes in rahmataka. Rahmataka, your mercy. We put our hopes in your mercy. We pin our hopes on your mercy. And what is the nature of the mercy of Allah? We talked about this earlier. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. My mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, supersedes, overcomes my anger and my wrath. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. It surrounds and encompasses everything. So we put our hopes in the mercy of Allah. وَنَخْشَى عَذَابَكَ. نَخْشَى, this is from خَشْيَة. خَشْيَة means to be overwhelmed by thinking about something. When you know about something, when you think about something, then it overwhelms you just to know about it or think about it. We are overwhelmed by the simple thought of عَذَابَكَ, your punishment. Inna, why? Inna, because most definitely, عَذَابَكَ, your punishment, بِالْكُفَّرِ, specifically with those people who are ungrateful, who are extremely ungrateful, mulhiq. Mulhiq comes from lahiqa, as you can see there. Lahiqa in the Arabic language means to seek out and latch onto something. To seek out and latch onto something, not let go. And that's why it's in the nominal form here, it's a noun, because it means it will seek out and latch onto that person, not let go. That's very scary, just the thought of the punishment of Allah, seeking someone out, latching and grabbing onto someone and not letting go, not being able to shake loose of it. But there's a very subtle, there's a silver lining here for us though. Because what we can understand from this is that this punishment is written for that person who will be ungrateful. That means the secret to avoiding the punishment of Allah is what? Gratitude, simply gratitude. I always try to explain to my students, see, when we talk about the obedience of Allah, ita'atullah, that's very, it's overwhelming a lot of times. It's very difficult. But we have to understand how to get to ita'ah, how to get to obedience, because that's trying to jump from here straight like 8 feet up in the air. It's difficult. But the steps that lead you up to the obedience of Allah is gratitude. If we can learn to be grateful to Allah, appreciate the blessings of Allah, reflect on what we have from Allah, that will lead us to obedience. Gratitude necessitates obedience. Gratitude obligates obedience. Gratitude leaves you no choice but to be obedient. It's not difficult to be obedient when you are truly grateful. When you feel indebted to someone, it's not very difficult to do something for them. I mean, you know, the examples are very simple. If somebody did, like, I lost my job, I lost my home, I lost my family, I lost everything. Somebody puts me up, you know, pays my rent, gets me a job, buys me groceries, buys me a car, does all of this for me. And I get back up on my feet, my life gets back on track. 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, that person calls me one day. Says, I'm stuck at the airport, there was a mix-up, I don't have a ride from the airport. I'll be like, done. They don't even have to ask me. I'm coming, I'm on my way. What kind of coffee would you like? And I show up, pull up to pick them up, and when they're leaving, when I drop them off at their home, if he tries to pay me for gas or compensate me, I'd be like, no, that's offensive. No way. After everything you did for me, I'm glad I finally got the opportunity to do something for you. When we truly reflect on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, the whole question of why I got to do this and why I don't got to do this and what's the reasoning behind this and what's the explanation for this and what's your evidence for this and what's the evidence against, all of those discussions become side discussions. All of those discussions become side issues. And by the way, I'll tell you very, very, you know, for yourself, keep that in mind. And especially when we talk about da'wah, when we talk about, you know, having a good influence, a good impact on somebody else in our lives, and we want to convince them to do something that, like salah, we're talking about salah here, right? Maybe you got somebody you love very, very much, your best friend, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, whatever it may be. And they don't pray regularly, and you want them to pray regularly. I'm going to tell you something very clearly. Sitting there and reading to them all the ayat and narrating to them all the ahadith that say salah is obligatory will not accomplish much. Maybe it does. I haven't come across that person that works on. Maybe it works on one out of every 100 people. But every time in my own community, somebody will come to me and be like, oh, you know, my brother or my son or whatever it is involved in this. Can you please give me all the ahadith that say that this is prohibited or this is obligatory? Now, it's a request. They're asking for knowledge, so I can't really hide it. So I go, yeah, here's Riyadhus Salihin. Just go make a photocopy. Right? Like, I don't know what to tell you. But then I try to sit down and explain it to them. Like, you got to understand, you're going to go there and pound them over the head with 18,000 hadith. They know that this is wrong. They know they should pray 5 times a day. But the way that it really have an impact is that instilling gratitude, reminding people of how blessed they are. And after Allah has given me everything that I have, if Allah asks me 5 times a day to stand up for 5 minutes and to pray to Him, absolutely. Labbaika wa sa'dik. I'm ready, my Lord. I'm standing here ready to go. Allahu Akbar. And so we have to understand this, that inna adhabaka bil kuffari mulhiq, that most definitely your punishment will seek out and latch on specifically to those people who are ungrateful. And not just nor, it says kuffar, like very severely ungrateful. It's for them. And as long as scary that as that is, we know how we can avoid that. Gratitude. And this is what's beautiful about our deen. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nowhere, the Quran, not anywhere, has ever demanded perfection of us. None of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. It's impossible. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, each and every single one of the children of Adam is error prone. خَطَّاءٌ. Error prone, very prone to committing error, very prone, very likely to make mistakes. It's in our nature to make mistakes. I had always had trouble understanding this the first time I heard or read this hadith, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you became a perfect people who never committed any sin, Allah would remove you and bring a people who would make mistakes. I said, ajeeb, I don't understand that. But because they'll make mistakes and then they'll turn to Allah and ask for forgiveness and the mercy of Allah, and Allah will forgive them. That's what Allah wants from us. And the reason, see, the wisdom behind the Prophet ﷺ saying that is to remind us that perfection is not a goal. It's not a goal. It's not an objective. It's not. And that's why the closest that we can get to perfection is not to have any sins. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? أَتَائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who makes tawbah from his sin is like the one who has no sin. So the closest we get to having no sin is by making tawbah from our sins. So implicitly in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, sin. You will sin. He mentioned the word sin. You will make mistakes. But what you have to remember is to immediately follow that up with tawbah. Repentance. That's the consciousness. See, that's taqwa. That's that consciousness. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. It's as if he has no sin. All right, page number 26. Is the other qunut, supplication. This is related to us, narrated to us by the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. اللهم اهدني في من هديت وعافني في من عافيت وتولني في من توليت وبارك لي فيما أعطيت وقني شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتْ. Allahumma, O Allah, ihdini. We've talked about this word before. Ihdini, guide me, show me the way. Fi man. That's two words. The first word is the word fi, which means in. We've talked about this word. But in this context, it's more in the meaning of among. Guide me among man, the one who, those who, guide me among those who hadayt, among those whom you have guided. Guide me among those people whom you have given guidance, to whom you have given guidance. Wa'afini, mu'afat, to remove harm from me. Fiman, among those people, in the company of those people, from those people. Afait, that you have removed harm from them. Watawallani, Here's a new word, tawalla. This comes from the word wali. Wali in the Arabic language means a very trusted ally, a very good friend, a very trusted ally. Tawalla means to befriend someone, to ally someone. Ally me, befriend me, make me very close to you, O Allah. Fiman, fiman, among those people whom tawallait, you have made them your friends. You have made them your allies. Now we're going to pause right here real quick. Three du'as we're making to Allah. Allah, guide me, remove harm from me, and make me very close to you. It could have simply just been that. Allah mahdini wa afini wa tawallani. What's this fiman, fiman, fiman going on? Among those whom, among those people that you guided, that you removed harm from, that you made close to you. Because this is that same lesson that we've talked about previously, that sometimes, it's or a lot of the time, it's not enough to just be guided by yourself, but it's important to be in the company of guided people. To be blessed with that company, with that support system, that structure. That's the importance, the necessity of community. That's the necessity of community. That's what y'all have here. Y'all have a beautiful community. And it's important to embrace and be a part of that community and understand the need for that community. Very important. Even at a time when it seemed like a luxury, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam still established Darul Arqam. Because it's a necessity. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the sheep or the goat that strays from the flock, the shaitan eats it. I mean the wolf devours it, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَإِنَّ ذِئْبَ الْإِنسَانِ شَيْطَانٌ. And the wolf that attacks the human being is the shaitan. Isolation is not a part of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Community is very important, and that is emphasized even through these du'as. Allahumma hadini fi man, O Allah, guide me, but also keep me in the company of other people that you have given guidance to. Remove harm from me and put me in the company of such people. Make me close to you and put me in the company of like-minded such people. The next part is wabarik li fi ma a'tayt. Wabarik, and put blessing, li, for me, fima, fima is two words, fi, in, ma, in that which, a'tayt, you have given. Put blessing for me in that which you have given. These four boxes that you see here in the third line, this right here is the summary, the understanding of the concept of barakah, blessing in Islam. What does barakah mean? What is this blessing? To bless something, to put barakah in something. We ask for it constantly. The Quran talks about it. The Prophet ﷺ is talking about it. What is this concept? Barakah has nothing to do with quantity, has everything to do with quality. Barakah does not mean more. It is the ability to do more with less. And this dua is very specific. The word a'tayt is past tense. What you have already given. Meaning what? We're not asking Allah for more. We're saying what you have given to me is enough for me. Just now please add barakah and blessing to it. That's all I need. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَ. Put blessing for me in that which you have already given me. وَقِنِي. And protect me. شَرَّ. From the evil. شَرَّ is the antonym of خَيْر. The opposite of خَيْر. All that which is evil. Protect me from any evil. To come about, as a result, as a consequence, ma, of that which, qadayt, you have decreed. Protect me from any evil. Protect me from any evil coming about as a consequence of that which you have decreed. And I use the word decreed because it's kind of a big word. It's again one of those more archaic type terms. But it's kind of difficult. Let me explain the meaning of the word to you. Qada is different than fasala, amara, hakama. The word fasala means to decide. The word qada is not just to decide something, but it's also to decide and have the ability to enforce. To decide something and have the ability to enforce it. Qadayt, what you have decreed. Like a judge is called a qadi. Because not only does he make a decision, but he has the authority and the ability to enforce his decision. So Allah, protect me from any evil to come about from what you have decreed. فَإِنَّكَ. Because most definitely you, O Allah, تَقْضِي. You are the one who decrees. You're the one who decides and enforces. وَلَا يُقْضَى. This is the passive, and it is not decreed alayka, upon you. You're the one who decides and enforces. It is not decided for you, nor is it forced upon you. That's impossible. Innahu, most definitely he. This is talking about just a hypothetical, like giving an example. That a person, most definitely any person, la yadhillu. This comes from the word dhilla or dhulla, dhalil. If you speak the Urdu or the Persian language, zalil, zulla, zilla, right? You're thinking right now, he just said a really bad word. I'm telling, right? This is a good example. This is an opportunity for me to explain something to you. Sometimes you find words in multiple different languages. But it's a huge mistake to assume that it means exactly in another language what it means in your language. They might be closely related, but it doesn't always mean the same exact thing. In Urdu or Persian, this word, it means like disgraceful, humiliated, detested. But that's not what it means in Arabic. In Arabic, dhilla, dhulla, dhalil, adhilla, the plural, it means to be helpless, to be weak, to be helpless, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Because Allah said about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. Allah helped you at the place of Badr, on the day of Badr, even though you were helpless. أذِلَّة, ذَلِيل. Of course, He's not saying you were terrible or humiliated or disgusting. That's not what Allah is saying. Allah is saying that you were weak, you were helpless. But Allah helped you. So similarly here, it means لا يذلو. That person, he will not ever feel helpless. He will never feel helpless or weak. Man, the one who tawallayt. Or excuse me, the man walayt. The one whom you have made your friend. The one that you have befriended. Anyone that you have befriended, oh Allah, that person will never ever feel weak or helpless. Wala ya'izzu. Izza in the Arabic language, again, you know, in Urdu, Persian, Farsi, it can mean honor, dignity. In Arabic, in classical Arabic, it means strength, confidence. Strength, confidence. وَلَا يَعِزُّ. And he will never feel confident. He will never feel strong. Man, the one who عَادَيْت. عَادَيْت comes from the root of the word عَدُو, which means enemy. The root of the word means to cross the line. An enemy is one who crosses the line. عَادَيْت, you have declared that person to be your enemy. Oh Allah, whomsoever you have declared to be your enemy, that person will never feel confident, will never feel strong and confident. Because he's on the wrong side. تَبَارَكْتَ, most blessed are you. رَبَّنَا, our Lord, our Master. وَتَعَالَيْت, and most exalted are you, O Allah. So this is the second Qunut supplication.